We're also coming to it with our own experience of mortality, and I often refer to it as building a place for tender feelings.
Calgary Show Services presents the Event Planning Podcast, featuring interviews with industry professionals to help you produce your next event.
Here with Sharon Stevens. How's it going?
Oh, just fine. Thanks, Chris.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. If you don't mind to introduce yourself.
Well, I've been doing events in our city for, a couple of decades, actually. They range from small events that I've done as an artist. In public toilets was one. And I also worked for Arusha Center, where we opened Memorial Drive to pedestrian and cyclists for a few years. So that was a street event. And I also work at the Business Revitalization Zone in Forest Lawn, where we've closed some streets there as well for some public events. And recently, the last 5 years now, I've been producing and curating an artist-led event in the Union Cemetery in Calgary, and it's called Equinox Vigil.
So what kind of hardships have you come across in trying to close down an entire street for an event?
The city of Calgary was fairly on side with this event. The first one happened in 2010, I believe, which was also an election year. So a number of the city councillors and the candidates running for council really used it as a bit of a platform. We didn't think of it as closing Memorial Drive. We thought of it as opening the streets to a different mode of transportation. And our justification was that Memorial Drive is closed a number of times through the year for marathons, for construction. So this was just not anything that unusual, but the public were very mixed about it. So the event happened for 3 years, and it's now taking place in different kinds of formats.
So who did you have to go to coordinate that road closure, and how long did it take for the process to happen?
Well, we went through the City of Calgary. There's a permitting process. And if I understand this right, the City of Calgary now has a one-door-in policy or a department through Public Art, I believe, where they can help put you in touch with transportation, with the roads department, with Calgary Transit if you need it. For the Memorial Drive event, it took about 6 months to negotiate that. But then I do events with the BRZ in Forest Lawn, and we close little side streets, and that really only takes, I think it's about 6 weeks that the city has from beginning to end for their application process.
And what kind of insurance would you need to have for an event of that size?
With the Equinox Vigil, I purchase $2 million liability insurance, and you can get that online through an organization called, I get it through PAL, P-A-L, and it cost me about $250, I believe, for that, for the Equinox Vigil.
So it's a single event insurance only lasting for the duration?
That's right. They have a variety of other kinds of potential. So like bigger events, 3-day events, they need to know things like how many people will be there, what kind of access there is for emergency vehicles and that sort of stuff.
So how did you come up with Equinox Vigil? What is it? And what kind of problems or processes have you had in arranging the event over the past few years?
That's a very good one. The Equinox, I was inspired to bring Equinox Vigil or an event like it to Calgary when I met an artist from Vancouver. She's the artist in residence in the Vancouver Cemetery, and they do an event there during November 1st and 2nd, which is traditionally the days that a lot of cultures in Central and South America, in East Europe, gather in cemeteries to honor their dead, is usually November 1st and 2nd. And she does this in Vancouver with the support of the city. They hire her, they get her to curate the program. And she's been doing that for 10 years. And I met her in 2006. And I was determined to make something like this happen in Calgary. And so I started talking to the cemetery people here. It took me, the first event for Calgary was in 2012. So it took me about 6 years of talking with the city of Calgary. It was a new event. They had never heard of it. I helped them get in touch with other cemeteries there's not very many, but in the continent that do this kind of thing. And eventually they agreed. The first year they were pretty nervous. This event, the Equinox Vigil, is not held November 1st and 2nd. And primarily that's because of the weather. But also I really look to the seasons as influence in spiritual work that I do. So the equinox was perfect, as you know, the ending of one season and going dormant. Plus the weather's usually great. And it isn't close to Halloween. The city was really nervous about, you know, hooligans coming through the cemetery and that sort of thing. The city was also really nervous of, you know, people tripping or falling or, you know, hurting themselves. And so I thought they were brave. I thought they were very courageous to let me do this the first year. So that was 5 years ago that we produced our first event. And now I get phone calls from the head of cemeteries. He phones me. He asks me if I've got any unusual plans for this year because there's a new chapel that's just been opened in Union Cemetery. So he's approaching me about ideas because they need to get people into the cemetery when, you know, for other times rather than for funerals. So it's basically considered a green space. The Union Cemetery is Calgary's historic gem, basically, and they didn't have very much programming to get people there. So I've kind of done them a favor.
When we attended the Equinox Vigil, there's a plethora of artists and musicians, and I was wondering how you went about organizing so many people to be involved in the event, and what do you think the role of the artist is in attending or in producing their works and whatnot?
Oh, great question. I have a wonderful team of people that have been with this project since the beginning. So we are all really committed to it. And that's one of the great things, is having people who were there right from the beginning. So Kenna Barima, who's a dynamite musician, singer, songwriter, organizer in our city, has been the music director. And there's also Lizzie McGovern, who does the flags and flowers, and a really strong team of lighting volunteers who help with the lighting, because the Equinox Vigil in that cemetery, there's no street lighting. It's very dark, even though it's in the middle of the city, and there's very limited access to electricity. So that might be another conversation, but I usually curate the visual artists into the program. So we conduct studio visits and do a call out for artists who might be interested. And I really believe that artists have a role in the sacred life of traditions like that. So, and artists tend to have, I don't know, a flair, I guess, for ceremony, for things that have a beginning, middle, and end, for color, for structure, for design. So I really wanted the public to have a meaningful experience that wasn't too sad and maudlin, but that was also respectful and honoring the dead and honoring where we are. So I really believe that artists have a responsibility to do that. And so I've been really successful at bringing that kind of art community together.
So the artists themselves, since they're putting so much work into their art and also getting it to the site and tearing it down and generally contributing to the event, are they being compensated? And how are the funds generated for the vigil?
Great question. As an artist myself, I believe it's really important to make sure that artists are paid an artist fee, although this would be more considered an honorarium. So the event itself costs around $23,000 to put on. I am a programming partner with Community Wise Resource Center, and they are the charity that is my fiscal programming partner. So they're able to write tax receipts, which is a really big help. So primarily the funds are raised through fundraising campaigns, anything from an event that I staged at the Legion. I do small workshops and raise money that way. And this past year I held a non-event. I had what was I called an ungala. And people just stayed home and donated money. I raised $5,000 doing that, and there's no overhead.
That's a fantastic idea. So is that social media produced?
It is social media produced. It was fun to do. People were able to go online and they could tick little boxes of the money they would save if they didn't have to go to a gala.
Right.
So things like, you know, hire a babysitter, buy a new black dress, get their, you know, suit cleaned, get a taxi.
That's genius.
So yeah, it was fun, and it still built a bit of a community around it.
From my experience working with you in regards to the Equinox Vigil, I've noticed that you have a number of events throughout the year that are kind of building up. Like, what I really admire about you is this continual you're always in touch, like, with the volunteers and everyone involved, and I was just wondering why that's so important to you and how it contributes to the success of the event itself.
I really believe in our community. I really believe in creating a community around this particular event, and death affects us all. And so I'm really conscientious of how we are staging an event for the public, but we're also coming to it with our own experience of mortality. And I often refer to it as building a place for tender feelings. For me, it's really important that I host dinners every now and then. I gather people together so that we're still all connected throughout the year. And as I said, I do work hard to raise money to pay all the artists and the lead coordinators. There's still a volunteer crew, and they get involved throughout the year as well. It's also about information. So I host a wills workshop. It's kind of all around the theme of death. So again, without it being morbid or sad or maudlin, it's also about kind of the reality, and to try to bring death into our lives without it being so overwhelming that we can't really cope and in isolation. So I think part of it is the content. It is the fact that it's an event in the cemetery, but also the events I've done in the past, you know, having a Ciclovia on Memorial Drive caused controversy, and sometimes for activists, we need to support one another. And even if that means, you know, making sure we go for coffee and have some quality time, I really believe in that.
For the events, you mentioned one in particular at the Legion, and when you put on something like that in a venue that's just for a day, temporary, and you've set up maybe some bands or some kind of entertainment, how are you promoting that individual event, and how long beforehand do you start to kind of put out your promotions?
That's a great question, and it's kind of a moving target, I find. As someone who's produced events for a couple of decades, I find that Calgary's sort of shifted. It used to be that you'd kind of work on a six-week schedule, you'd get your poster finished and on the street on poles and on poster boards within 6 weeks. And then, you know, advertising, you can have like a whole communication plan. But I don't know if other people have noticed this, but Calgary is a last minute town, I find. People don't like to make commitments. I'm guilty of that. I wait to see how I feel that day before I decide if I'm going to go out. So I've relied less on print promotions and more on word of mouth and more on social media. And it's the word of mouth. It's the people that, you know, now Equinox Vigil has 500 people coming, and it's the people that experience it that are able to explain it to their colleagues and friends and peers in the way that it affects them. And they're the ones that are encouraging people to come. So I don't have a timeline specific anymore. The month before the event, I try to post something every day on social media to bring it into people's awareness, for sure.
Would you do pre-sale tickets at all for them?
Well, for Equinox Vigil, it's free. And events that I've done as fundraisers, I do pre-sale. And I've been using brown paper tickets as a... I like them because a small percentage goes to charity as well. And it's really critical to get advanced ticket sales, just so you know that your costs are covered, at least that much. And then everything else after that would be the funds raised.
Is there one event in particular that you've been to that really affected you and you thought, like, this is the greatest event I've been to? It's so well managed, or something about it that just really stood out. What is it about it that made it such a memorable event for you?
Wow, that is a really good question. In terms of the management of the project, you know, I think I'd have to say the event that was organized called the End of the World, or it was during Calgary 2012. And do you remember when, you know, the 21st of December 2012 was going to be the last, you know, another doomsday?
Right.
So I worked with a crackpot bunch of gals, Kenna Barima again, Johanna Schwartz, I can't remember who else, Tara Sukit, and they really know how to put an event on. So yeah, I'd really suggest talking to them. It was at the Legion, number one Legion downtown, and it animated every portion of the Legion. And a number of groups have used the Legion to that extent as well. But it was complex in that there was dinners, and then there was a bigger event in the main part, but it went really smoothly. There was lots of volunteers, and everybody was cheerful and helpful. I think sometimes what I notice about events is that, and I might be guilty of this too, that the organizers are so intense thinking about, oh my God, is that porta potty level, is, you know, oh good, there's the mayor, where, you know, like all the things in their minds, that they're just so intense that they don't stop and smile and say hello to the person right in front of them. And I find working with those gals, and they also put on the Carol of the Bells. So I find that they're a really wonderful group to work with.
What about your recent travels? Tell me about your recent trip.
Oh, that was in terms of logistics, it was a big learning curve. So I was fortunate to be invited to go to Halifax, where they have an event there called Nocturne Art at Night. And Nocturne is similar to what folks would know as Nuit Blanche. So I was invited to bring the Digital Shrine to Halifax. And the Digital Shrine is what I contribute to Equinox Vigil. So people handwrite a tribute to their deceased. It's entered into a computer and projected on a screen, and then the words scroll like movie credits. It's quite a simplistic installation. People really resonate with it. And then I've created it's kind of based on ironing boards, but it's an installation shrine. So I took that to Halifax in October, and then I was also invited to Tucson. And Tucson has a huge event on November 7th and 8th, based on Day of the Dead. They're very highly influenced by Central and South America. And 150,000 people take to the street, and they have a procession with music and artists, and people dress up. And we took the Digital Shrine there as well. So there it was a huge learning curve in logistics of setting something up, hiring local musicians and photographers, and getting equipment, and In Halifax, we dealt with the rain. So, you know, I spent more time on the inside of Home Depot finding, you know, solutions for how to make an umbrella look interesting and funky and arty and be functional as well. So I feel really privileged to receive some Alberta Foundation for the Arts funding for cultural relations to go to those two places and bring a Calgary event to another city.
So what was your experience like being the artist on the other side?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what? It was food. comes to mind. That's a bit... one of the things I really strive to do as well is to make sure that the artists and volunteers are fed really well. So at the Equinox Vigil, we have a big lunch that we all stop in our installation day and eat a very healthy, organic Sunnyside Market sponsored lunch. And then at the end of the event, we bring in food as well. And for us in Halifax, we were outside for 12 hours. Our event was for 6 hours. It was in a cemetery. It was in the rain. And at the end of the night, we were frozen and cold. And the organizers, they had an after party, but it was far away. And so we felt a little bit isolated, I guess. The same in Tucson, because Tucson was such a huge event, 150,000 people. They had plenty of things to be thinking about. But we were assigned, we had a technician that was assigned to us, and he was super helpful. So, yeah, it's funny that food would come to mind, but that's what it was.
Could be important.
Exactly.
If you were stranded on a desert island and you could only have one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Well, apologies to any of the vegetarians out there listening, but we find that after doing a really big event that we need to have a barbecue and barbecue really good steak and just eat a plateful of steak. I don't think I can do that every day for on a desert island because, yeah, me and the cows, I don't know. So yeah, some protein. Let's just say lentils.
Lentils every day?
Well, maybe.
For the rest of your life?
Yeah, either steak or something like that.
And what time is the Equinox Vigil happening this coming year? Mm. And where can people find out about you and the Equinox Vigil?
Oh, thank you. Equinox Vigil this year is on Saturday, September 17th. The event starts at 6:30 and finishes at 9:30. It's beautiful because it goes from daylight to dark. And just that dusk magic hour is really beautiful. And there's a website, equinoxvigil.ca. And as well, my website is essence.ca. And essence is spelled E-S-S-E-N-S-E. Twitter, O-X, Y-Y-C is my personal handle, and then Equinox YYC as well.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, you're welcome.
And,
it's great.
And we look forward to the Equinox Vigil this coming year.
Thank you, Chris.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening. This podcast was produced by Duncan Kenworthy, Eric Jesse, and Chris Benoit. Visit us online at calgaryshowservices.com to join our monthly newsletter for inventory updates and event insights.